We're going to talk tonight about the fourth like phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And so you may have heard of a guy right here. I got a book named George Mueller. Anybody ever heard of this guy right here? Okay. By the way, this is in our library. If you want to check it out, it's a fun little easy read biography. George Mueller, if you don't familiar with his story, was a missionary. Actually, he was like missionary pastor in England. I think it was Bristol, England. And he lived in the 19th century. And he was responsible for starting 117 schools for orphans, orphanages. And back in the day, he cared for over 10,000 orphans. There was something like educated like 120,000 children in his life. And he raised over $97 million in today's money for these orphanages, for his kids, for these schools. And he did all of this without ever asking for money. He did all this without ever once fundraising. And he did all this without even ever making his financial needs known. How did he raise all this money? He simply trusted in God. And he trusted in the power of prayer, the ministry of the power of prayer. And it's really cool. I mean, he's just like a really good, his story is really encouraging. I encourage you to check this book out, borrow it from our library if you're interested in learning more about him. There's one day, true story, one day that George Mueller woke up, 300 kids came to breakfast. They had this big hall. So there's 300 kids sitting in this big hall, and George Mueller gets up in front to pray for breakfast, knowing full well there's no food. There's no food in the building. He cannot feed these 300 kids breakfast. And so this was his prayer on that morning. Let me find it. I want to read it. Yeah, exactly. He says he's praying, and he says this: thank you, God. I'm going to pray this in faith. Thank you, God, for giving us the food you are going to give us to eat. That was his prayer. Thank you for the food you're going to give us to eat, knowing full well there's no food. And right when he said amen, there was a pounding on the door. True story. The local baker was at the door carrying three large trays full of bread. So I was up at 2 a.m. this morning baking these loaves of bread. Do you want them? And so they took them. Right after that, the milkman came in knocking on the door and said, "Hey, my cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. I've got this whole load of fresh milk. I can't make my deliveries. Would you like the fresh milk?" And so God provided again. And this book is full of true stories like that about this guy's life. He believed in the power of prayer, and God answered prayer day by day by day. He answered him. And that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Give us today our daily bread. That's what George Mueller, and in this case, it was literal. He literally gave him the bread that they needed for that day. Today we're going to look at this phrase together. If you were here several months ago, we've already looked at this passage that I'm going to refer to right now in the Sermon on the Mount, because just a little bit after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus went on to teach something. He said this later on in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said this: "So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So here's a question before we get started today. Why would Jesus teach us to pray for something that he's already promised that he's going to supply? Why would Jesus teach us, give us today our daily bread, when just in the sermon, like just literally a couple of minutes later in his sermon, he says God's going to provide it. He knows our needs before we ask him. So why would Jesus teach us to pray this line? I think there's a really simple answer to that. Don't overthink it. It's just simply this, because Jesus, like he often does, he invites us as his disciples into a relationship with the Father. And this is the one of the ways he does this. He wants us to understand that the Father cares for us. He cares for all our needs. And Jesus invites us into that. Jesus is going to fulfill his promise. Think about this. The last couple weeks we've been talking about this, that the Almighty Creator and Sovereign Lord of everything, right, stoops down to each one of us and asks us to participate in a prayer like this. Give us today our daily bread. It's pretty amazing. It should kind of make us stop and go, wow, why would you do that, God? But thank you. So let me ask another question, because I can read some of your minds already. You're thinking this, give us today our daily bread. Does that apply to us anymore? I mean, I was thinking about this actually this afternoon. I was at home and getting lunch, opened up the pantry, and there's like four shelves full of food. Open up the refrigerator, full of food, right? How many of you can relate to that? Is your house full of food right now? Our fridges are full. Our pantries are full. In fact, we've got so much food that oftentimes it spoils and we have to throw it away before we can eat it all. So how can we pray, give us today our daily bread, when every single one of us has food to eat today, tomorrow, next week, and probably next month without even trying? Is this prayer applicable to us today? Does it translate into American culture for us? And of course, you know, the biblical answer is yes, of course it does. And as we go through this together today, just a simple little phrase, my hope is that we will see why it does in fact still apply to us today just as much as it ever has. So what we're going to do today is look at kind of this phrase, give us today our daily bread, and we're going to look at it kind of word by word, okay? We're going to kind of take it apart a little bit. Don't always do this, but I think it's going to be fun to do this today, and we're going to see how this prayer does in fact apply to us today, and it's going to give us not only a greater understanding of this truth, but it's going to give us an opportunity to actually put this in practice tonight. Okay, so that's exciting. I hope you guys will take advantage of this with me tonight. Okay, first of all, give us today our daily bread. Let's just look at those first two words. Give us. Give us. Actually, we'll go to the fourth word too. Give us our. What do you guys notice? Before we get into this, what do you notice about the words us and our? Just what's an observation you make? Give us our. What's the what is an observation? Just yell it out. What? Okay. It's what?
Self-centered.
Self-centered. It is plural. I don't understand self-centered. I don't. We'll look at. It's what?
Selfish.
It's you think this phrase is selfish?
Self-centered.
Oh, that's what self-centered means. Yeah, I know what it means. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. So I was going for plural. We'll just stick with that one. They're plural. Give us our. They're plural. And here's what I mean is it doesn't say give me mine. That would be selfish. That would be self-centered if we were to pray, give me mine. But that's not what Jesus tells us to pray. He says, give us our. Why do you think that Jesus taught us to pray our instead of me? Or why is it plural instead of singular? I'm not sure you've ever stopped to think about that before. Now, it's true, we could certainly pray this prayer for our own benefit if we really had a need, and some of us have, certainly in our lives, as we'll go on to look at today. But I think the reason why Jesus teaches us to pray plural is he's reminding us here that we belong to a greater picture. We belong to the bigger picture of the body of Christ. And it's true that maybe our fridges and pantries are full of food, but that's certainly not the case of every person everywhere. not even the case of it's true in America, but certainly worldwide, and certainly historically speaking, even when Jesus spoke these words and when the Bible was being written, there were a lot of people who didn't have enough to eat. They didn't have their daily bread. And so I think one of the reasons why Jesus teaches us to pray in the plural here is to remind us that we're part of the body of Christ, that that we're not just praying for ourselves, but for others as well. I think one of the things that, I don't know, Dennis, maybe you're referring to this, is one of the things that we do often is take for granted all the things that Jesus gives us. You know, just, again, I just keep going back to the fact our houses are full of food, and usually, even if, like, we're missing something, right, in a meal that we're going to make, well, we can just kind of run down the store and get whatever we need. You know, it's just like we don't really kind of, I think, in our culture understand the idea of not being able to have not just everything we need, but just about everything we want, like anytime we want. And so when Jesus tells us to give us our daily bread, it's a good reminder for us not to take these things for granted. And pray for not just ourselves, but maybe others that don't have these basic needs met. And there's certainly loads of believers around the world that that would apply to. I think if there's even one person suffering in the body of Christ, it's like I should feel it and you should feel it. And so we should join in and pray that prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Father, meet the needs of your body today. We have to think of for others' needs as well as our own. And I think maybe even beyond that, if we have the means and the opportunity to meet somebody else's need, I think that could be also included in this. As we pray, give us today our daily bread, and if somebody comes into mind, hey, maybe that person needs some help, maybe that person needs even some food for today, or some money to pay their rent today, or whatever their need is, wouldn't it be a great opportunity for us to look for ways to help one another? So, give us today our daily bread. Let's look at the next phrase. Give us today our daily. Now, I want to look at these words today and daily together. I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I find it easier to pray for things in the distant future than it is easier to pray for things for today. And Stacy and I were talking about this week. Like, why is that? Why is it often easy to pray for, like, stuff coming months or years in the future versus praying for stuff actually today? And I think maybe one of the reasons why is because stuff in the way distant future doesn't take faith to pray. If you've got a basic need, or you know somebody who has a basic need today, it takes a whole bunch of faith, like George Mueller, to stand up in front of a bunch of orphans with no food and go, give us today our daily bread. Thank you for giving us today our daily bread. Versus next week or next month or next year, do you get that? And so, like we've already said, we certainly here today probably all have our basic needs met. So why should we pray for daily bread today? And I think, again, here's the simple reason, is that because we have to stay focused and conscious of a dependence on God every day. Our fridge may be full and our pantries may be full, but we still need to realize that everything we have comes from the Lord, and just be thankful and grateful and dependent upon Him. Okay, I want to get a little wordy here for you just a minute. This word daily that Jesus uses here, I don't know if you know this, it's found nowhere else in the New Testament, this word daily. Only one time ever in the New Testament, right here. Not only that, it's not mentioned anywhere else in like Greek writing of the day. Okay, so no other Greek textbook or teaching at all in Jesus' day used that word. Nor is it used in the Septuagint. You guys, that is, it's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's not used in that either. So let's say it's not used in the New Testament. It's not used in the Old Testament. It's not used anywhere else sort of in Greek culture of the day. Just find that fascinating. Most scholars, I read a couple of people, and most people think that Jesus invented this word specifically for this prayer. So never before anybody heard this word before the day Jesus got up and preached this sermon. Now you're thinking he didn't preach in Greek. That's true. But he still made up that word. And when it was written down into Greek, there was no word to translate. So they kind of made up a word here. And why did I even bring that up? What's the point of that? I think the best way for us to understand what Jesus is saying here, give us today our daily bread, is the word means what I need for the coming day. So it's like this. If you're praying this prayer in the morning, if you wake up and you've got a need, Jesus, give me or give us our daily bread today, then that prayer is for the coming day. It's for today. If you're in the evening and you're praying this prayer, then the request would be for what? Tomorrow. The coming day. Tomorrow. And that's kind of what Jesus was talking about here. Jesus will later say in his sermon, just a couple verses after the one I read a minute ago, he said this, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So whether we pray this prayer in the morning or whether we pray this prayer in the evening, either way, it's a prayer to set us free from worry. It's a prayer to help us trust in God to meet all our daily needs. I heard somebody say that praying about tomorrow is the means by which we're set free from the anxiety of tomorrow. I think that's true, what Jesus is talking about here. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, Paul tells us, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So when we're praying even this petition, this request, "Give us today our daily bread," we need to do it with thanksgiving, not worrying about God meeting our needs, trusting Him, having faith that He will provide, not only for our needs, but for the needs of His body. Okay, so let's move to the next thing then. "Give us today our daily bread," this last word. The idea of daily bread goes way back to Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites had just come out of Egypt, slaves in Egypt, and they came out, and now they're wandering around in the desert, in the wilderness. And eventually there's like no food, right? So they begin to grumble and complain, "Hey, God, you brought us out here. Like, let us go back to Egypt. At least our stomachs were full of food. We were slaves, right? But, you know, at least we had food to eat over there. And so let's go back over there." But God's like, "No, I'm not going to do that." Speaks through Moses, and he goes, "Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide food for the Israelites. I'm going to provide in the form of what's called manna. So every day you're going to wake up, and the ground's going to be covered in this substance called manna. And you're supposed to go out every day and do what? You guys tell me. What are you supposed to do with the manna? Collect enough for that day, okay? So whether you're a family of one, or you're a family of five, you're a family of 20, go out and collect enough for your family for that coming day." And of course, some people had to test the Lord, right? And they got a little bit more than they needed. And remember, it was all rotten and maggoty the next day when they woke up. But what's the lesson that Yahweh was trying to teach his people back then about this manna? To trust him every day. Because today I collect enough for me, but what about tomorrow? Will the manna still be there tomorrow? Will it be there the next day? Will it be there the next day? So God was teaching his people to have daily dependence on him, to give them literally their daily bread. And I'm not sure, you know, if Jesus had this in mind or not when he prayed this prayer or taught us to pray this prayer, but it very well could have. Jesus certainly knew the history of his people, the Hebrews. The cool thing about this phrase, daily bread, It doesn't just refer to actual bread. Okay, we're not just talking about just, you know, literal bread. In the Hebrew culture, of course, Jesus was a part of, the idea of daily bread means this, and I'll read it so I get it right. It meant every basic need that we have in order to live and manage life. Let me read it again. Every basic need that we must have in order to live and manage life. That's how the Hebrew people, the Jews, thought of the phrase daily bread. So it meant more than just the actual bread. It meant the basic needs. So let me stop for a minute and ask you guys, beyond bread or beyond food, what are some of the basic needs that you have? Air. Shelter. I'll try to repeat them if I hear them. Shelter and clean air and water and clothing. Yeah. Did you say clothing? Is that what you said? Clothing? You're giving me a smirk. Yeah. I heard something back there. No?
Security and
just blurt it out if it comes back. Security. What else? Let's keep thinking on this list. What else? What's your basic needs? A job. Who said it? A job. Perfect one. And with a job comes what? Money to pay your bills, right? I suppose it depends on what kind of bills you have to pay, but we could get into that later. What, anything else? I heard something else. No? Love. Love. Yes. Okay, let's go that direction for a minute. I'll tell you one of my basic needs is 12 weeks when I was standing in there preaching to the camera and you guys are all at home doing your thing, you know, in your pajamas. Like, a basic need of mine as a pastor is you guys, is this gathering together, fellowship. It means a lot to me. I just can't say that enough. So being around other believers is a basic need for me. I don't want to cut anybody off. Freedom to worship. That's right. Exactly. I like it. Yes, I agree. Even like, you know, even greater than the First Amendment, just the freedom to worship, right? Yes. Even if you don't live in America, that's a basic right. Absolutely. All right. So you guys think of others later. The point is there's a whole bunch of basic needs that we have. What's the problem when we start to think of our basic needs? What do you guys think could be a potential problem with this? Yeah, exactly. We have a hard time differentiating between our needs and our wants. So give us today our daily bread, but Jesus didn't say or never promise that he's going to also give us milk, right? Like he did with George Mueller, but in fact he did. Not only oftentimes God gives us our basic needs, but what he gives us much, much, much more than that. And that's something certainly to be grateful for. Now, here's the thing. We're not bothering God when we ask for our basic needs. In fact, Jesus told us to do it, right? Ask for these things. Give us today our daily bread. It's not a command. We don't go around commanding God and telling him what to do, but it's a serious petition, isn't it? Give us, it's a pleading with the Father. Give us today our daily bread. And here's when we pray that, we can expect him to give us what we need for the coming day. What we cannot insist is that he gives us an unending stream of luxuries. So keep that in mind. It was in our home group last Monday. We started this new little devotional series on prayer, and there's this guy named Pete Gregg, and he's English. He's an Englishman, and he wrote this really cool book. He co-founded this organization called 24/7 Prayer. And it's just really neat. You should look into it. 24/7 prayer, look into that organization, just encouraging believers just to pray. And he wrote this really cool book. It says, the title of it is How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. It's really good. And I'd encourage you to if you're interested in more. And part of what he does in that book is goes through the Lord's Prayer. And so you can kind of take a look at that. But one of the things he said in his book, I was reading a couple chapters this week. It said, he says this, daily bread means daily bread. Nutella is not guaranteed. That's pretty good, right? It's like God says he'll meet our basic needs, but he's not like obligated, right, to give us peanut butter on top. But being the character that he is, having the character that he does, he often does do that, right? He often gives us much, much more than we can ever ask of him. There's a great proverb I want you guys to think about. Proverbs 30:8-9. Here's some good words to live by if you're thinking about this topic. It says this, give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of my God. You like that proverb? Give me just what I need. Don't give me too much, because then I'll just be like, I don't need you, God. But don't let me go hungry. Give me what I need so that I won't curse your name. Jesus teaches us to ask for our daily needs. And he teaches us to thank him for it when he gives it to us. Now, what I want to do is close up today by offering you guys an opportunity to put some of these things into practice, even tonight before you go off to dinner or whatever you're going to do. So here's what I like to do. I suppose that if we were to ask every single one of us, we would all have our different lists of what we would consider our basic needs. And that's okay. Some of them are going to be the same. Some of them are going to be different for each of us. But here's what I would encourage us to think about. There's probably a dozen principles and purposes we could pull out of this message. But I just want to give us two that I've already referred to tonight, just to remind us real quick. And then I'm going to turn you guys loose to actually begin to pray this on your own, kind of where you're at tonight. And here they are. Here's the two purposes that I want to just leave you with. Number one is to be grateful and to be thankful for everything that God gives us. That's a pretty good principle to live by. In economics, there's three levels they teach in economics. Needs, comforts, and luxuries. Okay, Jesus is promising just the first one here. He's promising that he's going to provide every single one of our needs, or another word we might use there is our necessities. What I need to have in order to survive today. That's what we've been talking about. Now, of course, most of us have more than enough for today and tomorrow and next month. But the result of our abundance, I think, has caused a bit of a problem in our culture, a bit of a self-centered, selfish problem that has made us more thankless than ever. And when, I don't know about you, but like very seldom will I open my refrigerator, getting out my lunch or whatever, and say, thank you, God, for all this. Most of the time, I just open my refrigerator, get out my blah, 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 and eat it, and go back to doing what I was doing without even really thinking too much about God. Shame on me for doing that. And I just wanted to remind us that we need to be grateful and thankful for all that he gives us. Psalm 106:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So learn to be thankful for even the smallest thing that he gives us. And not take for granted. The second principle, quickly then, would be to show our daily dependence on him. So So be grateful and thankful, and also number two, to show our daily dependence on God. We referred to a minute ago the manna that the Israelites ate day by day. God provided for their needs, never in advance, except for the Sabbath, right? Collect 2 days worth, so you don't have to work on the Sabbath. But other than that, day by day, he did it, right, to teach them to be dependent on him. And they were in that desert, not much food, not much water, plus millions of people, right? That the Israelites, they're literally, probably most people think there was probably like 2 million people, men, women, and children, spread out over this desert. And that's a lot of mouths to feed. So how are we going to do it? Well, God is going to have to step in and do it. And he did. Later on, he also gave them water to drink. And he provided their basic needs. And he gave them quail to eat. We're tired of this bread. Give us some meat. He's like, okay, I'm going to give you some meat. And he gave it, right, until they got sick of it. But God, once again, God provided for his people. They were dependent upon him. So I think the lesson there for us, never be take for granted all that God gives us. All the things we mentioned, food, water, shelter, clothing, jobs, income, friends, emotional support, gathering together, singing out loud, abilities that he's given us to play an instrument or to sing, whatever it is he's given us. We should be thankful for that. You'll notice one thing we did leave off the list, and that's anything spiritual. I think that's a whole different bucket full of stuff that God has. I don't necessarily think that's included in the bread. I think the bread's referring to like physical needs, but so that's a sermon for a different day. So here we go. The two purposes: be thankful and be daily dependent on God. So here's what I'd ask you to do, and you can do this in small groups. That'd be great. And do it by yourself if you feel more comfortable that way. But here's what I'd ask us to do is that take a minute and think about maybe even something specific, that like a daily need that you had. And you prayed and God answered that prayer. So maybe think about that. And if something comes to mind, stop and thank him for it. Thank him for it. Thank you for that. And then another thing you could do, if nothing readily comes to mind there, another thing you could do is just begin to list all the things you can think of things that you're thankful for, ways that he's taken care of you, ways that he's met your needs, and stop and thank him for it. Okay, so do that. Just those two things. Think of a list, be grateful, be thankful, and maybe even get specific with the Father. He knows it already. He knows our hearts, but now he's given us an opportunity to enter into this relationship with him, deepen our relationship to show that we're dependent on him. Okay, let's do that. And then we'll, in a little few minutes, we'll maybe sing another song.